This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
My giving is an act of worship. I'm not giving to get the blessing of Abraham. I already have the blessing of Abraham by faith. I am giving to worship God in gratitude and thanksgiving for what He has already done. He has already blessed me, and I'm giving because of what has already been done. That blessing, and every time you see that blessing is working in your life, you want, I want to worship Him. But we've never been taught and trained that the money is not giving to get. It is because I've gotten that I give. It is because of what I have that I give. It is a part of my worship. Today, I want to answer the question, why give? I mean, come on, man. I mean, why give? Man, we've heard a lot about that, a lot of things that are interesting. I went to the internet and pulled up some old sermons from me and other guys just to see what we were saying back then, and we didn't have it. And so, praise God, we're going to rewrite the book. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. He said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, literally, what he says here is Christ has paid the ransom. To be redeemed means you've been delivered because somebody paid a ransom. So Christ has redeemed us by paying the ransom for us to go free from the curse of not being able to keep all 613 of the laws. And so Christ has redeemed us and delivered us through a ransom by being the peace offering. He's delivered us, redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? Being made a curse for us. So He was made a curse for us. He took on the consequences that were due to us upon Himself. He became a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangs on the tree. Well, why did He do all of that? Why did Jesus die on the cross, became the compensation and the payment for our sins, paid the ransom so we can go free from the curse, shed His blood, had His body broken, all this stuff for us. Why? For what reason? What was the purpose? This is so awesome. So this is, somebody says, well, He did all that so I can be saved. True. Don't doubt that. But now He's specifically and precisely going to say in the next verse, He did all of this because or so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. I died, I took all of your sins, I became a curse for you so that Jewish people would not be the only ones to inherit the blessing of Abraham. I now did it so that Gentiles can get in on the blessing of Abraham. My God.
The Bible talks about in the book of James that trying to preach to a man, you need to first feed him.
The Bible talks about how when we feed those who are hungry, if we go out and pray for those who are sick or ill in the hospitals, and we go to where they are, that was what Jesus did. He went to where people were.
Just by going into the school, we're able to feed people, meet their practical needs, and then those kids get to hear the gospel, and we've had parents, those kids lead their parents to the Lord, and then those families come to the church.
It may be that a well is needed in Kenya for the Maasai, or it could be that they need glasses in India for people who are having eyesight problems, or emergency-related outreach and missions. We want to meet that specific felt need. And at the end of the day, we know as we do that, people will understand grace and be empowered to change as a result of us meeting the needs that exist in their lives.
Jesus died, became a curse so that you can get what?
Blessing of Abraham.
So how does He plan on you getting the blessing of Abraham? No, you got to be goody-goody to get it.
No.
You got to come to church at least 5 times.
No.
You got to fast for at least 30 days.
No.
There's something you got to do to deserve it. How does He plan on you accessing the blessing of Abraham?
Through Jesus Christ.
through Jesus Christ. So if I believe in Jesus and I've made him the Lord of my life, do I have access to the blessing of Abraham?
Yes.
Good class, good class. The blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now watch this, semicolon, here's what comes with the blessing, that we might receive the promise. And all of this, you got to get it through what? Faith. Not works, not striving, but through faith. Is everybody understand that? Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to the seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, look at verse 29. How do we get into this? Galatians 3:29. So we talk about accessing the blessing and the promise, but do I have a right to it? Well, and if you be Christ, and if you be Christ, and if you be Christ, so he's stating the condition. So if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. So what do I have to do to become Abraham's seed? Be Christ. How many of you are Christ? All right, I announce today that you are the seed of Abraham. But not only you're the Abraham seed, but you are now an heir. You are now an heir. All right, so what's the promise? What am I getting? For the promise, comma. He getting ready to tell us what it is. The promise God made to Abraham, you are going to be the heir of the world. I believe the Greek word here, world, is cosmos. That's big because he is not saying you are to inherit worldly things. We are in the world, but we are not of how they operate. So here's what it means. It means you are an heir to all of the world's goods. You have a right to inherit all of the endowments, all of the riches, all of the advantages, and all of the pleasures. This is the promise that God made to Abraham and to his seed. You have a right to inherit all of the earth's goods. Everything, all of the goods on this earth are rightfully yours. All of the endowments of this earth are rightfully yours. All of the riches, the gold, the silver, the minerals, it's rightfully, the water, it's rightfully yours. All of the advantages, so all of the technology that's born in the earth, rightfully yours. All of the pleasures on this earth, don't tell me I can't go to the beach. That's rightfully mine.
Yes.
I've inherited that. This is the promise that God made to Abraham and to his seed. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but it was to Abraham and his seed through the righteousness of faith. So it says, I have given you this will, I've given you this inheritance, not to try to manifest it through the works of the law. I gave this to you to receive it through the righteousness of faith. All right, watch carefully now. The blessing of Abraham for the new covenant believer is made void and of no effect when you try to earn it and deserve it through your efforts. Hence, the secret to walking in the blessing of Abraham in your life is to stop trying to deserve it. Instead, exercise your faith to believe that you are righteous through Jesus's finished works. The more righteousness conscious you are, the more blessings you will experience. The Abrahamic blessing of being an heir of the world comes by trusting entirely on God's unmerited favor in your life. But the next question is, why give? Because now the church said the blessing's out there, and the way you get blessed is by giving. That's not it quite. That's not quite the truth. You're almost saying to me, like the world says, you're almost saying, I got to buy the blessing or earn it through my giving. And you are you're now treating giving like a quid pro quo. What do you mean? A quid pro quo just means that if you scratch my back, I'm gonna scratch yours. And so, I don't know, all my life I heard give. Watch this law-based thing, and it'll be given unto you. I scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And something's wrong with that. Because somehow in your mind, in your subconscious, you still believe that if I give, I'll get blessed. And if I don't give, I won't get blessed. And that is a direct violation of 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. Go to 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. If I give, I'll get blessed. If I don't give, I won't get blessed. Bring ye all the tithes to the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me here, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I'll still get all those blessings of the tithe except this one. And if you don't tithe, I don't read it no more, but if you don't tithe, you'll be cursed. Now, listen to me carefully. Every man, verse 7, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Don't give grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. To be a grudging giver means I don't want to give, but I'll do it anyway from my religious practice. And he is saying, don't give like that. And then, I'm going to give so I won't go to hell. He says, you're giving because you feel like it's necessary for you to avoid hell. I'm going to give so I can get blessed. So you're giving because you feel like it's necessary for you to get blessed. You're still on the merit system. You're still doing something so you can feel like you deserve something. And you took something so precious as giving and made it a part of the works of the law. I've got to give to get. Quid pro quo. Giving is not a way to get the blessing. Giving is an act of worship. You don't give to get blessed. You give because you're already blessed.
God through our giving. It's not about how much or the finances. It's more so about honoring God. From a practical standpoint, those things are being given to bless people, to reach people, to keep things going. But from a spiritual standpoint, you know, God honors that. So when you give to His kingdom, He's giving it back to you in different ways that you can't imagine, through healing, through peace, through sound mind.
Giving is an act of love. Before we understood grace, giving was like, you give, you get. But now, understanding that because you already have, because He's given us everything, in response, we give.
I try to hold back tears when I think about this, and I now know what it means when it says, you know, thank God for worship in song, thank God for worship in dance, and thank God for worship in all the things we do. But worship is never complete without the giving of a substance from your life to thank Him for everything He's already done. And the fact that I wake up every day and realize that I'm blessed and I have an inheritance, I got to do it. You can give the gift with the wrong motivation. The motivation is more important than the gift. All right, now watch this. I'll begin at verse 12. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And Abraham heard about what, because Lot, remember Lot and them, they couldn't stay together. And so he heard that they kidnapped him and took all of his stuff. Verse 14, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Verse 15, and he divided himself against them, and he and his servant by night, and smote them and pursued them unto to Hobah, which is on the left of Damascus. And he bought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women and the people. So I'm assuming he won. Right? But verse 7 says, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from, and he called it from the slaughter. So he not only won, but with 300 men out of his own household, the driver, the servant, the long guy. Do you understand? And they went in by night. So I don't know if anybody, one of the reasons why you just read they won, because don't nobody know what happened. Except they won. It was a slaughter. And they collected all the goods and bought back everything and more. And it was such a slaughter that Sodom, who had been defeated by these nations, said, I need to come out and meet this guy. But notice what happened. God help me. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. When we do bread and wine, it's communion, isn't it? And he was the priest and the representative of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thy hands. He said, it was God that delivered your enemies into your hands. It wasn't your fight, it wasn't your servants, it wasn't whether your training was good or not. You stepped out on knowing you blessed. Who does that? Who takes the chauffeur and the cook and the maids and say, let's go and get them? 318 went out against the nations, and it was a slaughter. Now, you got to know Abram's thinking of this. Abram's thinking, we should all be dead. We should be dead. What the world? What happened? What the heck? We should be dead. And he can't get it off his mind. I'm blessed. I know what happened. It was him. It was him. It was the same one that showed up in the midst of the famine. It was the same one that showed up and got my wife back. It was the same one that gave me this kid. It's him. It was him. It was him. It's him. It's God. God did it. God did it. God did it. And can't you see him? The next line, he said, and he bought him a tithe. You know what happened? He says, I worship him. I got to worship him. I got to, you know what worship means? I'm in awe. I'm in awe of what had just happened. And so I bring my substance and I worship him. Oh, I don't know if you've ever been in a ditch so deep. I don't know if you've been in a situation so bad. I don't know if you've been in a situation you thought there was no way out. And you knew it wasn't you. You knew it was God somewhere stirring in that nest. And when he did a marvelous thing, I needed to figure out. I need to worship him. Here, God, here's my substance. Your money represents you. Your money represents your time. Your money represents your effort. Your money represents everything. Here, God, my worship can't be complete by saying thank you and waving my hands and singing a song. But when I bring something to you, It's his honor. Giving is an honor act, not a quid pro quo. It's an honor act.
God's love is everlasting, but it has to be expressed through people. No one can love us more than God. So when God, who is love, is on the inside of us, tells us to love our neighbor, he's saying, can you share me with them? Can you tell them about me and how much I love them? Can you tell them about me and how much I was willing to sacrifice so that they can have what they need?
It gives you the opportunity to help bring the same knowledge and the revelation that you receive to other parts of the world who may not have had an opportunity to see it yet.
It's a way to expand the kingdom, but it's a way to manifest the Christ that's on the inside of you. It's a way to glorify the Heavenly Father. I just don't know what more you could ask for.
Giving is an honor act. It's an honor act. It's an honor act. And Abraham in the following verses said, I don't want anything from you. He says, I lift my hands up to God so that no man will be able to say he made me rich, but God only. My giving is an act of worship. Look at Psalms 96, verse 6 through 9. My giving is an act of worship. I'm not giving to get the blessing of Abraham. I already have the blessing of Abraham by faith. I am giving to worship God in gratitude and thanksgiving for what he has already done. He has already blessed me, and I'm giving because of what has already been done. That blessing, and every time you see that blessing is working in your life, I want to worship him. But we've never been taught and trained that the money is not giving to get. It is because I've gotten that I give. It is because of what I have that I give. It is a part of my worship. He said to gather the first of the week so that when you come together, you'll already have it because this is a part of your worship. Yes. Watch this. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Verse 7. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory that's due unto his name. How am I going to give unto him glory that's due to his name? : bring an offering. It's a gift. It's a gift and coming to his courts. It's a gift. It's not giving to buy the blessing. It's not giving to massage God up and so you can get him to do something. Bring unto the Lord what's due unto his name. Worship him. Worship him in the beauty of his holiness. That's what that means. It ain't about getting. I'm going to give so I can get that, and I'm going to give. No. It's about, let me think about all that God has done for me. That's a part of your worship.
Yep.
As Christians, we're called to change the world as Christ did, but we can only do this together. By God's grace and with the support of people just like you, we are seeing the transformative difference grace can make. Providing meals and clothing to those in need, sharing the love of Christ by helping people clean up and rebuild after disasters, guiding and showing young people their worth, loving and empowering those society has forgotten, and bringing the gospel and vital resources to those in need here and around the globe. These are only possible because of your love and financial support. And it doesn't take much. For as little as $1 a day, $5 a week, or $20 a month, you can help us continue to demonstrate the love of Christ, share the understanding of grace, and empower change in the lives of people across the world. When you become a 2020 Vision Partner today for your love gift of just $20 or more, as our thanks to you, we will immediately send you your very own gift and award Bible and our partner welcome kit. You'll receive this Creflo Dollar Ministries lapel pin, the 2020 commemorative partnership keychain, and a 2020 personalized Vision Partnership certificate that you can frame and display to remind you of all the lives you're helping right here and around the world. Also included is the acclaimed feature documentary, Uncharted, on DVD. You'll get an in-depth look at how, with your support, Creflo Dollar Ministries is taking an uncharted path to reach the hungry, sick, and those in desperate need through our global missions outreach. You'll also receive a 2020 Vision Partner card with exclusive offers and discounts offered only to 2020 Vision Partners. And as an added bonus to you for helping change lives around the world through your partnership, Pastor Taffy Dollar will include her Embracing You Confessions card. You are one of a kind. As you meditate on these confessions, you'll be encouraged to love the person God uniquely made you to be. Or for your one-time gift of $80 or more, or your annual commitment of $20 a month, you'll not only receive the complete 2020 Vision Partner Welcome Kit, you will also get this special partnership commemorative Bible set, which consists of the King James and Amplified Bible and Soar on Wings Like Eagles plaque, valued at $100. This beautiful commemorative Bible is made with the highest quality leather that you'll be able to read and enjoy for decades and pass down through your family for future generations. Jesus said that whatever we do for the least of his brothers and sisters, we do for him, and that we'll receive an eternal reward. With your love, commitment, and financial support, we can make a difference today, tomorrow, and for eternity. Become a 2020 Vision Partner today. Call right now, and together, let's change the world.
The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.